All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes, Jones!
Yes, existence.
Here, like I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted them in and down.
Wow, we should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our heart. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. My name is David Quadrelli, and I am joined by Sportsnet 650's newest hire, that has a nice ring to it, Chris Faber. Chris, how are you doing, man?
I am doing great. It's been an awesome week this week, which is good because, you know, felt like for a while there, it was getting pretty stuck in cement or quicksand or something. Like, it was the COVID lockdown and quarantine, everything's starting to wear on me a little bit. So having some good news this week was awesome. I got a call from Sportsnet 650. I mean, I announced it on Twitter a couple days ago. You knew about this for a couple weeks. We obviously couldn't mention it on the show. I'm excited to get my foot in the door in the sports radio industry and see where it goes from there. I get started the day that this podcast gets released on Saturday. I'm in there with Izzy and Alex for On Air with them on Saturday, so that'll be fun to see how everything works.
And it's funny because we're recording this Friday afternoon, and I'm actually doing a hit on 650 tonight. I don't even think I told you yet. I'm going on with Jamie Dodd at 7:35, so people will have already listened to that or heard about it. And yeah, I'm trying to get my reps in before you're the producer and you just start muting my mic when I'm on air.
That's great. No, we always love tuning into your 650 hits. Me and the girlfriend will definitely have to be listening to tonight, I guess, on Friday or yesterday for people that are listening to this on the regular day that it's released. So that's cool. Did they mention what you're going to talk about with him yet, or just going to go in there and see what's up?
Canuck stuff, I assume. Hopefully they don't ask me too much about baseball other than like free agent stuff. But yeah, I've been reading a bunch of stuff about the Rogers Center today. I have not, like, people are like saying farewell to it, and I haven't really looked at if it's closing up. Like Sakaris and Price, we're talking about MLB stadiums. I have no clue what's going on. So hopefully they don't ask me about that. I'll have to do a little research. But yeah, like something's happening with the Rogers Center, and even though I'm a Jays fan, it hasn't popped into my timeline. It's just, yeah. Oh, it's going to be demolished. I just Googled Rogers Center.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh.
I hope that this is people's favorite part of the show, is when Dave learns stuff from Googling live on the show, because it happens way more often than it should. Like, I don't, like, when you want to bring up an idea, maybe do a little, like, what you did was one Google search to find out what's going on, but I don't know, maybe this should be a reoccurring segment where Dave gets shocked by news live from Google.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, so it's going to be a new stadium. Have you ever been to a Jays game, Chris, at the Rogers Center?
Nope, I was one of those guys that went down from Vancouver to Seattle that the new host of Jeopardy hates. I would always go to the Blue Jays games down there, and the Blue Jays were awesome because they would just sign autographs forever. But I've never been to the Rogers Center, right? That's what it's called?
Yep, Rogers Center. So, okay, here's the thing. Like, you went to T-Mobile Park. It was probably Safeco Field when you went down. But that's where the Mariners play. And that's a place that has, like, a really nice roof. Like, you can see it. It's just completely retractable, but we're in the Rogers Center. It's kind of like BC Place Stadium, where it's just like the walls are so high and then it just kind of opens at the top, you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know, it was like, I was reading like a headline I saw on the Globe and Mail, you know, and I said I was reading, I mean 2 minutes ago, a headline I saw was that the Rogers Center, the Sky Dome, when it was first announced, was outdated like immediately. And you know, when that's the case, when it's like outdated 2 years or 3 years after it's built, that's not good. So when you look at a park like T-Mobile or Safeco, whatever you want to call it, like that's a nice stadium, you know what I mean? And like where you have BC Place Stadium, it's just not. Like it's just not the same, you know what I mean? Like BC Place is a great facility, but in terms of the roof, it's nothing compared to Safeco and like other MLB parks, like other parks that have stadiums with roofs. Like, you look at Tropicana Field where the Rays play, like that's like the epitome of being like the worst field in the MLB, hands down. Like stuff gets caught in the catwalk up top because the roof doesn't even open, and it's just like, it's garbage, especially when you compare it to the Miami Marlins field, which is just down the street or whatever. It's in the same state. I don't know where Tampa is in relation to Miami, but
you should just Google it.
Yeah, I could just Google it, but I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to Google twice in the same show. But yeah, like, I don't know, it's just, it seems long overdue, I guess. And I don't know, I want to see the design of this new place, because I don't know, like, it's not a bad thing that they're getting a new stadium. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And with such an amazing company like Rogers, I'm sure that they're going to do a great job.
Oh my gosh, you know what we need to do? We need to get a new button on the board that's the Rogers jingle. It's like, ba-da-da-da, you know that one?
Yeah.
We got to do that and hit it every time you bring up your new employer. That's fantastic. Wow. Okay, well, we should get into some hockey talk, Chris.
Well, I just want to address one thing, because a lot of people tweeted at me. I think I tweeted out the other day, but just so people know, that does not mean that I'm going to stop doing this podcast or stop writing at Canucks Army, because it's not like I'm hired full-time to host a show. I'm learning, like, how to operate the board and be a fill-in producer. So I'm not going to be getting a lot of hours at this job. I'm just excited to get my foot in the door, like I mentioned. And this is not going to affect anything to do with Canucks Army or Canucks Conversation or what I'm doing at BCIT. I just wanted to get that out there.
There would have been a massive, argument between you and I if you came to me and said, hey, I'm taking a job as a part-time board operator at 650, so I'm leaving Canucks Army and Canucks Conversation. There would have been a massive falling out between you and I, which was funny because I knew people would think that, like, that was going to happen, like, you were going to leave and, oh, what's Quad's going to do and all this stuff. So it was funny because despite me knowing for 3 weeks, I said to you after, when you tweeted that out, the announcement, I was going to quote tweet it and be like, news to me, ... just to throw, like, gasoline on the flames and just see how people reacted. So that was something I thought of doing just to stir the pot a little bit, but thought better of it because I knew someone would take it seriously, or someone wouldn't see my second tweet where I was like, no, this is a joke, I'm really happy for Chris. Which, to be clear, I'm super happy for you. Like, this is awesome, man.
Yeah, sarcasm doesn't go great on Twitter. I think we've learned that. Hopefully people know that more than they should. Don't try and be sarcastic on Twitter. That's a great tip for people using social media. Don't be sarcastic ever on social media because people aren't going to get it. Save that for real life when we get back to a regular world.
Yeah, whenever that is. Well, we got some Canucks talk, I guess. It was a good week for us at Canucks Army, Chris. Like, last night, I don't know, you put it out on Twitter. You got some what'd you call them? Quadplements? What'd you call it?
Yeah, I got some quadplements on my article the other day. That was good. I don't. It takes a lot to get a quadplement out of you about my article. So, getting those is pretty great.
That's some of your best work. Some of your best work, for sure. It was, like, when I was editing it, I was like, there was a few moments where I was reading it and I was just like, damn, good job, Chris. And, like, yeah, it was good. And I was I probably sent you like 90 text messages over the span of like 20 minutes at 1:30 in the morning last night, and you were awake responding to them, which was the best part of it all. But yeah, you definitely killed it on the Zlotyev article and the news article that you did as well about the prospects. That was, yeah, that slapped. I haven't checked the page views yet, but those were good. I don't know if they'll do as well as my trade tiers article did, but those were some good articles for sure.
Yeah, anything with trade in the title does crazy numbers. But yeah, Zlotyev was awesome to talk to. We used Google Translate to have a conversation with each other. That was kind of interesting to do. But really nice guy. Seemed pretty committed to wanting to come play in North America. Talked about that being his dream and a lot of the dreams of players growing up in the same area as him. Good conversation with him. We learned about the contract as well. That was kind of the news that I broke in the story. He's got 18 months remaining on that contract, and then he can come over to North America and join whatever the Canucks situation is at the time. I'm thinking that potentially means he might even join the Utica Comets at the end of next season. Or sorry, not next season, but the season after that. You know, he might even come over and join the AHL a little bit after his KHL season is over, which would be exciting because that's the way that I think Zlotyev's going to make his way to the NHL. Like, he's going to have to come and compete in the AHL for probably at least a full season, right? Like, unless he's just outstanding as soon as he gets here, like, he's going to have to prove that he can be a guy that the AHL team can rely on. And I think that he's going to be able to work his way up to being a potential call-up. And the fact that he's a center who can, you know, bring some offense and be super creative in the offensive zone, but also just be so good at getting back on D, you know, his back check has been great. I've noted multiple ones when watching his games. It's great to see. And he mentioned that some of the players that he loves watching, like Ryan O'Reilly, Sidney Crosby, I can't remember the third one that he named, Nicholas Backstrom. So like three guys that are very committed to the defensive side of the game as well. And it shows in the way that he plays. So yeah, it was great to have a conversation with him. Like, he's a guy that I immediately, the first game I watched, he scored a goal, had a great back check and played solid defense the whole game. And I was like, all right, yeah, like, I already like this kid from the first game that I saw him play. And he's kind of only gotten better from there. So it's too bad that he's injured for the next 2 to 3 weeks now is what I reported as well in the article. It's too bad because I think that might be the reason why he actually didn't end up making Team Russia's U-20 team for the World Junior Championships coming up. Because if you remember, Igor Larionov, the coach, was very excited and said some very good things about Zlotyev. Like, he was saying that he's the perfect type of guy to kind of play in a bottom six. He's a good guy who plays defensively in his own zone. And he said a lot of real positive things about Zlotyev. And it's unfortunate that he's not going to be on this U-20 team this year. But he's young enough to compete in the tournament next year. So I think he'll be a lock next year on that team.
Yeah, I think he's going to be there. And something interesting you brought up in this article that I kind of wanted to touch on a bit, Chris, is how you talked about, like, this is kind of what the modern fourth liner is going to look like, right? Like, we're not going to see a guy like Jay Beagle be in the NHL for much longer. Like, there's just not really, like, you look at Joel Eriksson-Ek in Minnesota, like, that's going to be the new age, like, checking line center. You know what I mean? A good two-way ability and just so good defensively, right? And I think Zlotyev can be that. And someone who I was thinking of as a comparable, and I just looked it up while you were talking there, was Artem Chubarov with the Canucks, right? And something I just found out, he is the same height as Zlotyev, okay? They played for the same team in Russia. Chubarov played for Dynamo. The only difference is Chubarov was the 31st overall pick, whereas Zlotyev was like in the 200s, I believe. He was 175, so do with that what you will. But that's, like, you know, in the sense of they can both potentially be a fourth line center. Like, I don't think either of us are suggesting that Zlotyev can play in a top six role. I don't think he's going to ever replace a Bo Horvat for the Canucks. That would be, like, that would make him a huge draft steal. But just forging out a career as a fourth line center where, you know, he doesn't put up a ton of points, but he's in that role and he's solid, similar to how Chubarov was, like, that's a win for the Canucks, taking a guy in the sixth round that can become that. And I don't know, that was just a kind of a comparable that came to mind because I was thinking of, like, fourth line centers that have played for the Canucks that put up a decent amount of goals. And, you know, if you think about it, Chubarov was, like, one of the best fourth line centers the Canucks have ever had.
Oh yeah, I had an Artem Chubarov jersey growing up. He was, like, one of the players I really liked. And yeah, as long as Zlotyev doesn't end up buying, like, a BMW and have the same situation as Chubarov when he left, that'll be good. Because yeah, as long as he makes it to the NHL, I'll be excited to see that.
Yeah, he seemed like a good kid though, just from reading that that interview, which, by the way, Google Translate, that's hilarious. And people always ask us, I don't know if you get these DMs, but I get DMs, like, people asking once in a while, like, where's Pod Colson? Why isn't Pod Colson on the show? And people need to know, you're doing your due diligence. You messaged him in Russian. You didn't go with my my recommendation of DMing him with a voice message and saying in Russian, you should work on your Russian and just say, hello, my name is Christian Feberov, and I want to have you on Canucks Conversation. That's what you should have done. You just give yourself a Russian name and get out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to be Christoph Faberoff. That was going to be my name going into it. But man, I'll tell you, like, I feel like I've done a pretty good job in the past 2 years of getting guests on the show. The one that's been the hardest, I've said it, it's Mikey DiPietro. I said it last week on the show. His camp's not really down for it. Yeah. But with Pod Colson, like, man, I am up to some sneaky stuff right now to get in contact with Vasily Pod Colson. I'm not going to release what I'm doing, but I know that he's reading the messages, to the point where I'm at right now, and we're just waiting to get a reply from him to maybe set something up. I've recently mentioned that maybe we can just do, like, a text interview. We can do it in Russian and then I'll translate it all back over after. So yeah, I mean, I'm working on it, man. That would be an absolutely huge get, because it won't be on the podcast, but I think just like, if I was able to ask Pod Colson some questions and get some good answers from him, like, this would solve a lot of things and also make for some great articles at Canucks Army. So I'm gonna keep pushing on that button there a little bit and see what happens. And yeah, you know what, like, I did this, okay, so when I worked at the mill, I would listen to Canucks podcasts, or I'd listen to every single Canucks podcast. I still do listen to 90% of them. But when I worked at the mill, it was 10-hour days. Like, podcasts got me through every day. So I would listen to every single podcast. And then you get to a point where it's like, okay, I've listened to every single Canucks podcast, right? Like, I can't listen to any more, no matter how many there are out right now. Like, there at the time, there was probably like 6, 7, 8, 9 podcasts for, like, Canucks podcasts. Not like 40 like there is now. But back then, like, I would get finished, and I was like, okay, I need to do something else. So what I would do is I had this podcast, and it was by this guy named Johnny Spanish was his name. And I did this podcast where I learned Spanish throughout, like, it would be like a 20-minute episode, teach you about words, then you move on to chapter 2, and you worked your way through it. Anyways, I ended up getting through, like, 4 seasons of this, and the guys at the mill thought it was hilarious, because I'd show up to the lunchroom, and I'd be, like, speaking Spanish, right? So my Spanish is now, like, pretty good, because I learned it from a podcast that I would listen to at the mill. But the guys at the mill thought it was absolutely hilarious that I would just come in and just start speaking Spanish from, like, the words that I just recently learned from a podcast. So I might start doing a similar thing with Russian, because if Pod Colson shows up here, like, and his English still isn't that great, because right now it's not. It's not very good at all. Like, Zlotyev's was pretty good. Like, his English was solid. He wasn't very confident in it, but it was pretty solid, I'd have to say. But Pod Colson's is definitely lacking right now. So if I can even throw together a couple of Russian sentences, like, I'm down for that. So I am going to start working on my Russian a little bit, even though we were kind of joking about it. Like, I actually am, so see what we can do with it.
I love it. This is why we paid the big bucks at Canucks Army, man. Holy cow. Faberov going nuts here. I would love to see you learn Russian. That'd be like the funniest development of 2020, for sure. It's just you learning Russian to communicate with Russian prospects.
I'm getting okay. Like, I know a lot of the Swedish hockey terms now. You know, like, I know shot, I know goal, I know assist, I know period end. Like, a lot of stuff like that, or, like, period still going, because, like, you gotta follow these scores and stuff like that. So, like, I'm learning, like, I get a little bit of Swedish because it's written out in English letters, right? The problem with Russian is, like, you look at the Russian website, and you're, like, trying to find information to read stats, and it's all in the Russian letters, and it's like, okay, like, I have no idea. Like, it just looks like all the English letters, like, backwards, right? So it's, like, it's an absolute mess trying to learn that. Yeah. That's what I don't get either. Like, how do they have numbers in the middle of their, like, oh, yeah, it that Dude, throws me off.
We don't know the hieroglyphics of their language. Like, we straight up don't. It's like, oh, and there's a little house. There's a star. I'm not sure what this means. And, oh, and there's a three. Like, what's the pronunciation of that? You know what I mean? And even, dude, even reading the lineup cards, like, the back of their jerseys with Ska, like, is written in regular letters. Like, Podkolzin reads as Podkolzin, but on the lineup card, it's written in Russian, and it's just like, I can't even see the similarity between it. Yeah. I'm like, what is it? Like, oh, man. And even, like, Morozov, like, the players I know, and even Lyndon Vay, like, I'm trying to read his name, and in the Russian hieroglyphics, it makes no sense. I'm like, what is, like, I couldn't even begin to understand what the letters are in Russian. So maybe we'll have to have a Russian listener give us some lessons over Zoom.
If there is somebody who knows Russian, you should please DM me on Twitter. And see if we can even just get a few sentences together. Like, I'm down for that for sure.
That's fantastic. Well, I think now's a good time to cut to break. On the other side, we'll talk about a few different things. No guest this week, but it's off to a pretty hot start here, Chris. I want to talk a little bit more about the stuff coming to Canucks Army and the stuff we published this week, because I'm up to something. I'm up to something, Chris. So on the other side of that, we'll hear from our sponsors, and then you'll listen to all of that. For now, you are listening to The Canucks Conversation. Zephyr Epic is Canada's source for trading card games and sports cards. They ship free anywhere in Canada on orders over $50, and you can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON with a capital H and a capital S, all one word, HOCKEYSEASON, to get $5 off your order exclusively for Canucks Conversation podcast listeners. Be sure to join them live on Twitch for Epic Case Break openings. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Zephyr Epic, Zephyr Epic, on all platforms.
And before we go any further, just want to give a quick shout out to one of the sponsors of the Canucks Conversation, Mike's Hard Lemonade. And if you guys are looking for a zero sugar, zero carbs, and also 7% vodka drink, look no further than Mike's Harder Zero. They have three different flavors right now, lemon, lime, and cherry, with apparently more flavors just around the corner. So with zero sugar, zero carbs, natural flavors, and 7% vodka, this crisp vodka soda packs the perfect amount of juicy, tart flavor with a bit more vodka. So you only got to drink two of these to get drunk, quads. That's exciting for you.
And a huge thank you to our sponsors of the Canucks Conversation podcast. Chris, I don't know if I told you, but there are some hockey cards coming our way, courtesy of our friends at Zephyr Epic. They're on their way right now.
Man, I am excited for that. I've seen the Young Guns. People are pulling a bunch of Yalevi cards right now. People are pulling the Alexis Lafreniere rookie cards, which looks so dang good. Yeah, there's a lot of fun cards in that Series 1 pack right now, so I'm excited to get cracking on that, man. Like, I think we need to come up with a hashtag now, because I think the rookie card that we're going for, it has to be Olli Yalevi, and it's a pretty common one, right? Like, we'll obviously be trying to pull the big names like Alexis Lafreniere, but did you know that in this box set, there's a Bianca Andreescu card?
What? No, I had no idea. That's awesome.
Yeah. So they have this weird, I guess, like, sort of inserts is what they call them, right? Like, the different cards that come in. They have one that's called, like, Ceremonial Puck Drop, and it was when she was at a game, and I believe it was Toronto against Boston. Yeah. So she's standing there beside John Tavares and Zdeno Chara for the opening faceoff, and she looks tiny because Zdeno Chara is standing up there beside her, right? So, yeah, there's a Bianca Andreescu, for people who don't know, the female tennis player, the Canadian, who's off to a great start to her young career. Yeah. So that's the card that I kind of want to pull. I want to get that Andreescu card.
That'd be sick. That's really cool, actually. What's the other ones? Is there, like, I'm trying to think of who else did, like, big puck drops.
I think that there are other hockey players. Like, it's just, like, a couple of older, NHL Hall of Famers that ended up dropping pucks, so it's not exactly from, like, just last year. But the cool one is that Andreescu card. That's kind of a different one. And there is so many, like, obviously after the year that Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes just had, like, there are so many inserts of Hughes and Pettersson now in Series 1 that it's just, like, there's, like, these Dazzler cards that look awesome. There's the UD portraits that always look good. There's just a bunch of these inserts. So, like, I want to get some of these cards because they just look awesome.
So, in a way, we're still going Hughes hunting, right?
I mean, yeah, like, there's some Pettersson cards that, like, we need to come up with a hashtag for Pettersson because that's, like, that was the year where I got into to actually looking to collect hockey cards was, I was like, oh, I'm going to try and pull an Elias Pettersson rookie card. And the first box that I bought from Zephyr Epic at the time, before we were even sponsored by them, I pulled the Elias Pettersson rookie card on, like, the third pack of the box. And I was like, oh, man, collecting hockey cards is going to be awesome. Like, how are these going for so much on eBay and stuff? Like, I got it in the third pack that I opened. This is going to be cool. And, yeah, I didn't pull a Pettersson card in the next, like, five boxes that I opened. So,
yeah,
obviously, my dumb luck succeeds me once again.
Now, you have to assume that Pod Colson's rookie card is Young Guns is going to be kind of sought after. Like, I think that's going to be one like Hughes and Pettersson that's a bit short printed. And I don't know about Höglander. We'll see. But with Pod Colson, I think it's going to be Pod Colson panning, right? Panning for Pod Colson hashtag.
Yeah, that could work. Obviously, it's pretty easy just to do Höglander hunting. And if Höglander ends up making the team out of camp, that's going to be in Series 2 for them, for Upper Deck, and you could buy those at Zephyr Epic as well. So, yeah, I mean, Höglander hunting is going to be a lot of fun. That's what I want. Like, Nils Höglander Young Guns card is going to look so slick. The Pod Colson card is going to look ridiculous, too. So, yeah, I'm super stoked to get both those rookie cards. The only big-name one right now, I guess, is Olajuwon, right? So the Olajuwon card's pretty common for the Young Guns. It's one of those ones where you kind of get every two boxes or so because they're pretty common. They're not huge-name guys. But for Canucks fans, that's exciting because you got a pretty good shot of pulling an Olajuwon card if you buy a box or two.
Yeah. Wow. I'm excited. Anyway, yeah, use code hockey season. It's no longer Canucks Convo. Definitely go out and get yourself some hockey cards. Man, we have so much fun with that. And I don't know how we're going to do it this year. I think we're looking at a big YouTube video rather than a live stream. I think we're going to do a big YouTube video where we just open all of them. And we have like five boxes coming. So I think it's just going to be like a huge YouTube video and we just hopefully rake in a bunch of views that way. We'll see how it goes. But I'm looking forward to it, man. It's going to be fun to open some cards.
Man, we'll see if we can get our hands on that sweet, sweet YouTube money, man. Man, Lego Rocks, Gio over there, his bank account is just going through the roof with the views that he's getting on YouTube right now. That's where the money's at. There's no money in podcasting. Like, we should 100% be on YouTube. Like, that's where it's happening. So, yeah, let's see if our card-opening careers take off once we transfer over to the moneymaker that YouTube is.
Interesting. Okay, we'll have to do that. Because, yeah, I don't know. I've talked about it a little bit, but I've gotten back on the Twitch streaming. I might have started uploading some stuff to YouTube because YouTube used to be my bread and butter. So we'll see, man.
How have the streams been going? I was tuned into your first one there.
Yeah, they've been going great. We've got, like, dude, I've got, like, a couple, maybe, like, five people that show up to every stream, it seems like, and they're, like, pretty active in the chat. So shout out to those people. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We just talk a lot, and yeah, people like to watch me try and score goals and make big saves when I'm doing my Be a Pro career. Yeah, definitely a lot of fun because I don't always just talk about the game. I definitely talk about different stuff and, you know, people put different topics in the chat and I'll like talk about it for like 20 minutes. I don't know. You know me, I can talk for a long time without anybody else talking back to me. So yeah, I've got a bit of a background in commentating or whatever on YouTube videos. So it helps when it comes to Twitch. So yeah, it's pretty fun. I really enjoy it.
That's good. We've been running pretty good Warzone lately too. No dubs lately, but yeah, that we'll wrap up our video game talk with that. It's we've been playing good, and I'm officially a sniper now too, low key. I just started a little while ago, so now it's just you and me camping in towers, and our teammate just getting pissed at us the whole time.
Yeah, and I don't know. We're starting to play well enough. I think we might have to reach out to the hockey god and just be like, hey man, like we've improved since the last time you saw us play.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see if he still wants to play with us or not.
Speaking of the hockey god, that kind of segues perfectly into the first topic we're going to talk about on this week's show. I can't believe it took us like half an hour to get to the first real topic, but one thing I'm going to write about, and I'm going to put it on Canucks Army hopefully this weekend, we'll see what the timing looks like, maybe it'll come out during the week, is I'm kind of talking about, you know, you've heard me talk about it, you've heard Daniel Wagner write about it, you know, moving Gaudette to the wing. What does that really entail? And here's the thing is, like, when you look at the Canucks' current lineup, there's a reason Jay Virtanen's on the first line. And it's not because he deserves to be on the first line. It's because they cannot put him with Horvat. They can't put him on the second line. They just can't. And if they put Pettersson in a matchup role, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to have to put Besser there. But then again, you can't put Jake on the second line. So are we then looking at Louis playing on the second line? Or dark horse Tyler Motte playing on the second line? Like, it's interesting because there's definitely a shortage of wingers who can be trusted defensively. So it brings up, like, you know, you kind of assume that Besser's going to be on the second line so that they can fit Virtanen on the first line. And then maybe if that doesn't work, they move Besser. But my hot take is that Gaudette should be moved there. And I think just when you look at how good of a shooter he is, and I'm not talking about his Warzone play, I'm talking about, you know, from the left faceoff dot, like, on the power play, his work on the power play, like, he's a lethal shooter, right? And giving him that time and space, and again, like, letting him ride shotgun with Elias Pettersson, I think you could see a huge output from Gaudette. And, you know, the defensive responsibilities as a winger are definitely, you know, not as hard as being a center. That's no secret. But do the Canucks want to develop Gaudette into that third line center? Or do, like, it's almost like a, it, like, the title of the article is, or I already know, it's going to be a double-edged sword and analyzing if Gaudette should be on the right wing. And the kind of what makes it a double-edged sword is, like, okay, you're going to get offensive output from him, presumably, if you move him to the wing. He's going to score a ton of goals, and he's going to put up a ton of points. That, you need goals and points to win the game, right? But when you look at it from the long-term perspective, do you want to turn him into a winger that can, you know, doesn't have the best defensive game and isn't defensively responsible enough to play center and play in a third line center role? Or do you want him to be this scoring winger? I think he has the potential to become a scoring winger, and that's what makes it a double-edged sword, is because, you know, not only are you kind of throwing the long-term goal of him becoming a competent third line center out the window, you're also setting yourself up to have to pay him this offseason. Remember, this guy's on a one-year deal, right? So the Canucks are going to have to pay him this offseason. And, you know, with Thatcher Demko coming up, he has arbitration rights. Even if he plays okay, he's going to have a good case in arbitration. You got, obviously, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. So if you add a Gaudette who's just put up, like, 25 goals or what have you, you know, you're starting to look at another pretty big cap crunch. And I don't know, like, I don't know if the Canucks want to do that. That's what makes it a double-edged sword. But, you know, how much of that will Travis Green take into account? If he feels he can win with Gaudette, and here's the thing, like, we talk about, oh, Gaudette's not good enough defensively to play the third line center role. Like, Travis Green has sent him stuff about playing the penalty kill. Like, they want to turn him into a penalty killer. And if this guy's playing the wing for you in the games, but can play the center role on the PK, like, that, you presumably have two guys there who can take faceoffs and can play on the PK when you have Gaudette and, say, Horvat or Sutter, whoever, you know, Beagle, Mott, those guys are going to be the ones killing penalties for you. But if you're grooming Gaudette to become a penalty killer, like, do you also want him to be a third line center, or do you want him to just be a winger who can also kill penalties but has such a strong offensive game? And I don't know, like, I think it's a legitimate question, and it's a legitimate thing to talk about, is just because, like, it really is a double-edged sword. And how much is Travis Green, when he's trying to win hockey games in a contract year where he's a lame duck coach, by the way, how much is he going to take into account, okay, well, I don't want to have to make Jim pay this guy this offseason. I would rather he puts up a ton of goals and we win the games. So, like, it's interesting, and I don't know. That's my spiel on it.
Yeah, I think it's almost like a, what would you call it, like a triple-edged sword, because unfortunately, if you take Adam Gaudette and put him into the top six as a winger, you're going back to the spot where you have Brandon Sutter and Jay Beagle as your bottom two centers, right? I mean, like, potentially Zach MacEwen can play on the fourth line if one of those guys gets injured, or maybe you have to move Adam Gaudette back to center when one of those guys goes down, because I wouldn't be surprised to see Brandon Sutter and Jay Beagle go down at some point. And unfortunately, like you mentioned it, Adam Gaudette's defense probably, you know, isn't really good enough to be a third line center right now. It's something that he can definitely work on. But the thing for me is, you know, to look at it on the other side, Brandon Sutter's offense is not good enough to be a third line center. Like, yeah, he's just not a type of player who's going to be able to create offense. Like, he can, yeah, like, he can score. He has a pretty good shot when he's, like, set up into decent areas to score goals, but he's just not a contributor to his line mates at all, unfortunately, in the offensive zone. So I think that you have to look at it that way, and I think that Brandon Sutter isn't going to magically get better at offense at the age that he's at right now. But Adam Gaudette still has a lot of potential to still develop into a guy guy who can round out his game defensively, and I'm sure that's something that he's going to be working on big time, and I'm sure that it's something that his coaches have talked to him about a lot. You know, as we have season-end meetings, I'm not sure how they went for the Vancouver Canucks, but that had to be one of the things that the Canucks had to say to Gaudette, because, yeah, he had one of the highest shooting percentages on the team. He only took 75 shots last season. But, like, that's great and all. Like, it's great that he produces his offense. It's great that he was, you know, 4 goals on the power play, 8 goals at even strength. That's pretty good for 58 games or 59 games of Gaudette. But I just think that it's so strange. Like, you ask players to, like, these young players, it seems like a lot of people that look at them, they ask them to do more than they are capable of right now. But they don't ask the old guys, like, why, you know, like, yeah, Adam Gaudette's defense isn't great, but why is that same person not complaining about Jay Beagle's offense or Brandon Sutter's offense? It's like, that's just the type of player that they are right now. And for me, having three lines that can score goals and, you know, try and win the goal share battle, I like that a lot more than having two lines that score goals and two lines that try to prevent goals, because we've seen that story play out for the Vancouver Canucks in the past, and it doesn't end good for them at all. They, like Harmon Dial did the amazing research at the end of the 2018-19 season, like, that bottom six was absolutely horrid, and I think it would look a lot similar if you have Brandon Sutter and Jay Beagle as the bottom line centers for that group. I think that there's a lot more potential there for Adam Gaudette, and I think that he should be staying at center just for that specific reason, because it doesn't limit what that third line can do. I mean, there's room for him to grow. There's wingers that you can bring in to help him defensively. For me, it's just like, you can't really bring in a winger that's going to make Brandon Sutter be better offensively. Like, I don't see that guy on the Canucks roster, but I see guys like Adam, you know, Antoine Roussel potentially is a guy that can play on the wing to maybe help him a little bit in the defensive zone. Even Tyler Mott maybe is a guy that can help that line get a little bit of offense, but still be good in their own defensive zone. So I think there's a lot of options if you want to keep Adam Gaudette at center. And I just, you know, maybe Jake Virtanen, if he could play center, then you could maybe have this conversation about him being on the third line. But for me, putting Adam Gaudette in the top six is just a no-go, because you have a guy like Jake Virtanen who's already done it a little bit and had a little bit of success. So if you don't, look at the group that they have to call up a center. Like, who's the fifth center that they would be bringing into this group? Like, I can't really think of a guy that could even play at the NHL level. Like, for me, the fifth center on this Canucks team is probably Zach MacEwen. Yeah. Because he's a guy that's, you know, played a little bit of center in the AHL, mostly a winger, but he has played center. He has taken faceoffs. Cole Lynn's a guy who's taken faceoffs on the power play. He hasn't really played a lot of center. I think he had 2 games last year in the AHL where he played center. So I think you got to keep Gaudette there. Like, I think that you got to keep him there and then maybe put Brandon Sutter on the wing on the fourth line, because it really hurts when you just don't have a third line that could score goals.
Okay, so now I bring this name to you, Chris, because this is somebody who, when he was signed, and I've been thinking about his name a lot, Chris, like, this is somebody I'm thinking that the Canucks are in the back of their mind thinking, like, this is our guy if Sutter or Beagle goes down, or even if he just outplays them at camp, which probably isn't that far-fetched from happening. Like, I could see a world, Chris, where Jace Howerluck is the third line center on opening night or the fourth line center on opening night. I could see it. Like, you know, you look at his underlying profile in Ottawa, he wasn't on a great team, he wasn't getting favorable minutes, but he still performed pretty well. He's someone that's kind of a dark horse in my mind, but, you know, when I'm compiling my opening night lineup, I have Jace Howerluck in it. I think he's just a player that Travis is really going to like. I think that was a signing that Travis had a hand in, and I think he's going to be a player that we see kind of take over for Sutter and Beagle as the Canucks try and shift to a more, you know, modern roster construction.
I don't see Howerluck playing center, though. That's the only thing. Like, he hasn't done it at all, really, and, like, he hasn't really done it at the AHL level even as well, as he's kind of bounced around the leagues. I don't see it happening, I guess. Like, that's the hard part for me, and I know you've brought this up in the past, that you might think that he could slot in as a fourth-line center, but that's tough for me. I don't think that there's a spot for Howerluck to make the Canucks right out of camp. I don't think that he's going to be one of the top 14 forwards, I would have to say, but, like, I'm ready to be proven wrong. The guy's only 24 years old, so it's not like his book is signed and delivered already yet. Like, he's still writing it about what kind of NHL player he is. So I'm not going to write him off, but right now I don't have him in the top, you know, potentially 15 wingers right now, or 15 forwards going into camp at least.
That's interesting. Because, yeah, I do. I honestly think he's going to make the team out of camp. I just think he's the meat and potatoes type player that this management group and Travis Green loves. Like, I think he's going to show well enough in camp to earn a spot. I really do. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, he's somebody that I have in the lineup on opening night, I think.
And you're thinking that, like, the way that you would make your lineup is having him at center on your third line?
I'd see how he performs. Like, I think... Okay, here's what I think, Chris. When we're at training camp, like, hopefully we're both going to be there at the same time because we're going to have a lot of content coming. Like, you know how I watched Gio Levy really closely at the last camp? Like, that was the guy who, like, in the scrimmages, when he was on the ice, I didn't take my eye off him. Like, I was watching how he was reading the play, everything. Like, I did not take my eyes off him. I'm going to be watching Hauerluck really closely. Like, that's going to be the guy that I'm watching really closely, other than, like, Hoglander and obviously Gio Levy again, because, man, if his skating looks the same as it did at camp, I think he's going to... I think the spot's his to lose, like... He's going to get that third pairing spot. But aside from that, like, Hauerluck is going to be a guy I really watch because I think, you know, I think in line rushes and at camp, we're going to see him as a center. Like, I think they're going to try and get a good look at him.
Know
so
about this.
It might be pretty
much. The most face-offs that Hauerluck has ever taken in one game is two. In any game that he's ever played in his whole NHL career, the most face-offs he's ever taken in one game is two face-offs.
I'm telling
Louis Eriksson has taken more face-offs in a game than him.
That's fair. But they're going to try it. Like, they've talked about putting him at center already. When he was signed, like, they were talking about putting him at center. So they're going to try it. Like, they're going to try it. Whether we like it or not, they're going to try it. So we'll have to wait and see how he does. It's premature, obviously, to say he's going to play on the third-line center role. I do have him in the lineup, regardless. He's either going to play on the fourth-line wing or the third-line wing, whatever. He's going to take somebody's spot. He's a guy I have as a real dark horse coming out of camp, and I think Travis Green's really going to like this guy. Again, like, we have to see how he plays at center because, man, like, nobody thought Elias Pettersson was going to play center when he got here. He had zero face-offs in NHL games, and they put him in. So they've got.
Yeah, don't start comparing Pettersson to Hauerluck or anything, really.
I'm a big Hauerluck guy. He's going to win the Calder.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah. No, I don't know. I look at that. I think that what Hauerluck's going to be able to bring, like, he's a guy who's going to bring a ton of hits. Like, that's what he's going to do. He's going to be a guy who sparks plugs into your lineup in your fourth line when you're, like, man, the team really needs a boost. We're on a 3-game losing streak. Let's give Hauerluck 9 minutes of play and see what he can do. I think the big thing for me of him even playing for this Canucks team is if he can kill penalties, right? Like, that's what I really need to see from him.
Yeah.
I think that's something that he's going to need to do. And it seems like that's something that he did early on. Like, his first year in the NHL, he blocked a ton of shots, had a ton of hits in some of these games. Like, I'm just looking at the game log right now.
Yeah.
In the 18-19 season, the final game that he played, he had 9 hits in one game. Looking at the next season, he had a couple games where he was over 7 hits, like one game over 7, one game with 8 hits. Like, this guy's going to be a spark plug when he's in the lineup, for sure. But plugging him in as your third-line center out of camp is ludicrous to me when I hear you give me that take.
Well, in the top six. Would you rather have him or Louis up there?
Oh, my God. In the top six?
Yeah, like, dude, Hauerluck can't skate, but neither can Louis.
Well, man, I think that there's a lot of better options than Hauerluck and Louis Eriksson in the top six. But right now, I would have Louis Eriksson.
Louis Eriksson, wow. Okay, that's a bold take.
And you know how I feel about Louis Eriksson in the top six. I've made it pretty clear about it in the past.
Yeah, no, I think Louis Eriksson's the team's best fourth liner. Like, that's, you know, he's not paid like it, but yeah, he's good to have in the lineup, sure. But in the top six, I just think, like, the offensive opportunities just go to die as soon as they land on Louis' stick. And I think if Hauerluck can even be half as good as Louis defensively, he's already a better option. He can't skate. That's the big knock on Hauerluck. That's all we've heard, is he can't skate, but neither can Louis. So it's like, man, I don't know. Like, Louis kind of plays like grinder style like that. Like, he goes to the net and he goes for the rebounds, but it's like Hauerluck's more aggressive. And I think, man, I honestly, like, you think it's crazy to put him on the third line. I think he's a better option in the top six than Louis. But, like, this only happens if Jake just shows up to camp, shits the bed again, and then it's Besser on the first line, and then there's an opening on the winger spot. They're not going to put Vertanen in there. Hauerluck's a guy that I think could get a good look. So I don't know, like, I think you're underestimating Jace Hauerluck a bit. Like, I think he's going to be someone that you have to watch at camp. Like, he shouldn't be going under the radar like this.
I would, like, I could give you 5 names I'd rather have there, like, than I would Jace Hauerluck going into camp. I haven't seen enough of him to, like, really knock his game, but I've seen enough of looking at his analytics to say that I don't think he should be in the top six at all.
Give me your names. I gotta know your names.
Okay, like, straight up, I would rather have Sven Berchi there, for sure. Antoine Roussel, I would rather have there. Tyler Motte, I would rather have there. Zach McEwen, I would rather have there. And, I mean, man, potentially Nils Höglander coming out of camp. I would have those five names ahead of Jace Hauerluck right now on my depth chart. Specifically, if you're talking about a top six winger and talking about a guy who's going to play with Horvat.
Yes, but you're also talking, you're talking about a guy, and we're assuming when we construct our lineups here, that the Horvat line is still going to be playing in a matchup role. Like, yes, Elias Pettersson was in a matchup role towards the end of the year, and even into the playoffs, he showed well, but... Man, I don't know. I'm thinking we're gonna see some Hauerluck. We're gonna see some Hauerluck at camp. And
well,
I think...
no, like if you think about it, then you're thinking so Jake Virtanen doesn't make the first line in this scenario, right? Like this means that the lotto line's together, right? Like that's what we're saying.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So then, yeah, I would think that would be a matchup line, and I'll stick with the names that I said because I just it would shock the hell out of me to see Hauerluck hop up into that line because I don't think that. I don't even hate Antoine Roussel there. Like, I thought that there was a lot of chemistry between Roussel and Horvat in the limited time that they played together. And I would rather see a guy like Sven Berchi get a shot there. I just don't know if the relationship spoiled enough to make that happen. Yeah. Like, heck, if you're going to give that role to Jace Hauerluck, what's the worst idea of giving Justin Bailey that role, right? Like, Justin Bailey would be a guy who could hop up into that. But if you're talking about a shutdown position,
Dude, wait, then
it's different.
I've got to cut you off on the Bailey thing, because you and I both watched the one game he played last year. The dude looked lost out there. Like, just utterly lost. Like, he was on the fourth line, and he wasn't picking up his defensive assignments at all. He was fast, which is great, but he was, like, a second late to every puck battle that he was supposed to be in. And it was just, like, Beagle was directing traffic a lot when he had the shift there. He did not play well.
I don't know. I didn't hate his game. I thought he actually brought a lot of energy to a fourth line where... You know, like seriously, we're going to start saying that the fourth line has been really good defensively and positionally. Like, they've been horrible for the last...
Dude, he was playing catch-up.
For the last 7 years.
No, he was playing catch-up.
I don't know.
Catch-up.
I thought he brought a lot of energy. He brought hits, and he actually created some offense, if I'm remembering correctly, about his game.
No, you got to go rewatch the games, because, man, no, he wasn't. Like, he was not good. He was terrible in that game he played. Like, he was not good. He was... by far the worst player on the lineup that night. Like, he was chasing so much of the game, and yeah, maybe he threw a ton of hits, but they were like, it was because he was late to the puck, and it was just like he had to throw a hit to, you know, make it look like he was part of the play, but he wasn't there. And it's just, no, I will not stand for Justin Bailey's a better option than Jace Hauerluck. I will not stand for that.
Yeah, that one's my reach, I guess, out of it. But I gave you five names that I do believe would be
fair.
Better options in a top six role with Horvat than Hauerluck right now. But, like, at the same time, you know, prove me wrong, right? Like, let's see what he does at camp. Maybe he does stick out as one of these players. So it could be possible, I guess.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him for sure.
He's not a center, though. I'm going to shut that down right now. I don't know why even mentioning him be the third line center. Like, that's not happening.
They're going to try it. They're going to try it, I'm telling you. How about we make a bet? You want to make a bet?
Maybe we'll make a bet next week when we bring in our new sponsor.
Sure. Oh, that's a good little... Okay. I like that. But I think we should make a bet down the line that we will at least once see Jace Hauerluck skate as a center at training camp. In the line rushes or in the drills, whatever. He's going to skate as a center.
Sure, he'll skate as a center. So did Cole Lynn last year at camp.
No, he didn't. Cole Lynn was a wing the whole time he was at camp.
No, he was a center in Victoria.
Oh, Victoria. Okay, you got me there. I wasn't at Victoria. That was before my time.
He had Reed Boucher on his wing one day, I remember.
Huh. But that's like the Utica
group. Probably have the tweets to pull it up, too, because I was tweeting out lineups.
But that's the Utica group. I'm saying he's going to skate with the main group. Hauerluck's going to skate with the main group as a center. I guarantee it.
Oh, all right. We'll see about that.
We'll make
he might
bet next
skate
week.
A practice
we'll make the official
with him.
Bet next week.
All right, yeah, I want decent odds on that if it's just skating one practice as a center.
That'd be so funny. That'd be, like, iconic if we're just there in the upper bowl, just sitting, like, how far do we have to be, like, a row apart? I'd be, like, through my mask and be like, Chris, Jace Hauerluck's a center. Look, you lost the bet. That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. I'd be tweeting that out. That'd be the only line rush I'd tweet. I'd just tweet, Jace Hauerluck is skating at center. Faber owes me whatever we bet.
Yeah, it's going to be like a pack of gum if he does.
I love it. Well, I mean, I don't have too much to add. Nice little debate there today. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Prospects. Yep, I want to talk about prospects. Nils Höglander back in action on Saturday. The team has recovered from their COVID outbreak. That's good news to hear. Unfortunately, like I said, I was like, oh, I'm going to keep covering the prospects, keep waking up early. Of course, my shift at 6:50 starts exactly when Höglander's game is playing, so unfortunately I won't be covering that game. I'll have to watch that when I get home, but he's supposed to be back in action on Saturday after missing out on a handful of games that Rögle had canceled. So that's unfortunate. It's going to be good to get him back into the lineup, and there's only a few more games actually for him before this break, and his loan expires on the 12th, right? After the game on the 12th, he is officially back to the Vancouver Canucks off of that loan. So we're looking at two games, it looks like seven games remaining for Nils Höglander in the SHL. So we are not seeing the meteoric numbers that some people were hoping for, obviously, throughout this season. But saying the same thing, with the COVID concerns going on, with Rögle this week announcing that they're making cuts to all of their players' salary, I do think that there's even a growing interest from him to come to North America and stay in North America just because of, you know, a lot. I'm thinking that they're going to run it a little bit better. Like, Sweden's done a pretty good job of actually, like, shutting down the league when they should. Like, they're not like the KHL that just, like, ran through COVID when half the team, like, when Ska was half taken out by COVID-19, they just kept playing games and bringing in a new coach, and then he would get COVID, then he'd go on to the next coach. Like, it was a mess. But the SHL is doing a little bit better job of canceling, but at the same time, the league as a whole, and I think Sweden as a country, just isn't doing great with their COVID response right now. So, you know, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not even sure exactly the real numbers, but that's just the read that I get off of being around the situation. I reached out to Höglander's camp, talked to his agent. They don't have any plans right now to get him over here earlier than the 12th because of the 14-day quarantine. It might limit his ability to practice with the Canucks and participate in training camp. They don't have a plan for that yet, but I'm wondering, with these canceled games, with the pay going down, like, is it smart for Höglander? We might hear news, and you know what? Like, I'm gonna work my ass off to try and break this news if it does happen, but I think that it's a possibility. Like, I haven't heard anything from the camp. I haven't heard anything from the team or Höglander himself. But just personally reading the situation, I wouldn't be surprised if he actually leaves the SHL early once we hear when NHL training camp is set to start. Like, if they can give us a set date for when Vancouver Canucks training camp opens, I'm going to bet that the Höglander camp tries to get here 14 days before that, and I'm wondering what happens with this loan in the SHL. Like, I'm not hearing anything in stone, but this is just, like, the read that I'm getting on it.
And one thing on the topic of training camp is the players haven't been told anything. And Ben Kuzma had an article where he talked to JT Miller about his mother-in-law's passing. You know, he was thinking about leaving the bubble. He asked his wife if she wanted him to come home, and she said no. So Miller stayed with the Canucks, but his mother-in-law did pass away shortly after, I think, he arrived back home from the bubble. So our condolences, obviously, to the Miller family. But he was talking to Ben Kuzma about, you know, what it's going to look like. And he was kind of like, just give me a date. Like, I don't want to go back and forth. So he's saying, like, you know, if I have to go to, you know, I don't want to go to training camp and then go home for Christmas and then have to quarantine again or all this stuff, right? Like, he's like, give me a date, but don't make me go back and forth, right? And yeah, it makes sense, yeah. Obviously. It's a fair concern to have. So I don't know, like, it was interesting. There was definitely some interesting quotes in that story. A few interesting ones about the off-season moves. Miller said he found the move shocking, and he used the word reboot. He said it's almost like a reboot because those were some key guys that we let go. So yeah, kind of an interesting quote from Miller there. But yeah, other than that, I don't think there's too much else to talk about.
No, I got more prospect stuff.
Great, go for it.
Okay, Victor Pearson, Jani Yermo. Both are on the bubble right now to make their teams. Pearson with Sweden, and Yermo, obviously, with Finland, going into the World Junior Championships. Pearson is going to find out at the latest. It's going to be December 3rd when he's going to hear from Sweden if he's made that team and if he's going to be traveling over to Edmonton to compete. If he goes to Edmonton, he's going to be staying in North America because he's going to travel over to Kamloops to go over there and play in the WHL, which is set to begin January 8th, right? Is that the date, I think, for the WHL?
I think so, yeah, I believe so.
I think it's the 8th. Anyways, it's early in January. I believe it's right around the 8th. So, yeah, he's going to stay there if he ends up making the World Junior team because the junior tournament's obviously going to end just right there. So he'll have his quarantine done. He can jump right into the Blazers lineup on January 8th if that's when their opening game is. So that's exciting to hear. At the same time, Jani Yermo, haven't heard much around him. I think that he's a little bit on the outside looking in onto that team. Pearson, I think, has the better shot of actually making it because he had a great run to this year before his season got canceled. So keep an eye on him. And we don't talk about him enough on the show, but Arvid Kosmar has found himself in a pretty great spot with that U20 team at this year's World Juniors, because he's going to be playing with some very skilled wingers. Like, Sweden is so deep at having skilled wingers this year at the tournament, but they're not deep at center. So, you know, Kosmar is potentially playing on that second line, could be with a guy like Lucas Raymond, you know, on the same line with him. Mm-hmm. So that could be something very exciting to see. And with that, like, he's probably the second most offensive center on that team. So expect him to be on one of the power play units as well. So we don't really talk about him a lot, because he's not, like, ripping up the SHL very much. But he is going to be in a very good spot at this year's World Juniors. So I think that's the only thing I wanted to report on that. We already talked about Zodiev, so that's it. That's all I got. There's, and I guess, final thing with Pod Colson, there are 7 remaining games for SKA before they take a 9-day break that begins on December 11th. Potentially, we could see, like, 1 or 2 more games where Pod Colson plays in, but then aside from that, he's probably making his way over to Alberta as well. So that's basically all I got for the prospects report. I've been talking to a lot of them, and I'm, like I said, I'm hustling to get that Pod Colson interview. If that happens, like, that's going to make 2020 from a bad year to a pretty decent year. If I can get a Pod Colson interview, that'd be nuts.
Wow, hot take, but I like it. I like it, Chris. Yeah, I'd be very excited to see what you could do with Pod Colson speaking in Russian through Google Translate, which was good with Zlodiev, by the way. But if we don't have anything else to add, I think we'll close it out here. Thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 119, Chris, one away from episode 120. Thanks again. You have been listening to the Canucks Conversation.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.